We just moved the clock back last night, so it's like winter time now. It's getting dark much earlier. As you know, it's about 5:20 in Israel, which yesterday would have been still light and you could have a mincha, and now it's dark and it's the clock's moved. Firstly, it's a real schut to share some words of chizuk. Firstly, on a personal level, with Rabbi Shulman. Rabbi Shulman's grandfather, Rabbi Michal Kosofsky, was the founder of Yeshiva College School and the first Rosh Yeshiva and the driver of Mizrahi in South Africa. His grandfather, Rabbi Yitzchak Kosofsky, great-grandfather, was also a tremendous Talmid Chacham, first Avet in South Africa. And the school that I studied at, Yeshiva College, is named after him. It's called Yeshivat Beit Yitzchak, after Rav Yitzchak Kosofsky. And of course, I didn't have the schut of meeting Rav Yitzchak Kosofsky and Rav Michal Kosofsky, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha. But it was always very much part of our DNA in South Africa, because it was not only the driving force of religious Zionism in South Africa, but also the religious Zionist school, Yeshiva College, which I studied at. So for that reason alone, Rav Moshe, I said yes, for that reason alone. So it's a schut just because of a schut avot. I probably would have said yes anyway, but that reason alone is enough. So to all of you in St. Louis, and it's a schut to share a few words. And I think all of us, certainly in my lifetime, I wasn't alive during the Six-Day War. I was born a number of years afterwards. People speak of an incredible unity then that people felt. Certainly in my lifetime, this is the most unified and ki'ish echad b'lev echad that I think the Jewish people have felt, certainly in my lifetime. It's such a pity that it needs to come through so much pain and tragedy. It's just unfortunately, that's how it is sometimes. We tend to not be as strong of staying together in times of when we don't have external threats. You know, we know that Har Sinai, we stood ki ish echad b'lev echad, but that was for a moment at Har Sinai. I'm not sure how sustainable it was. We started with all of our machlokot afterwards. We hope and pray for a time where hopefully this unity that has been created will be something where that will persist long after the great challenge that we face today. As Rabbi Shulman said, you have heard of our situation as part of all the very challenging situation that the Jewish people as a whole are facing, the state of Israel in particular, 1,400 dead, as you know, and such horrific actions, as you know, just in the most unspeakable way. As has been said, it's the worst day in Jewish history, October 7th, 3 weeks ago and a day since the Shoah. And the unspeakable acts which were done is really just, it's just, it boggles the mind. I just returned from a meeting of the families. Our son is now, Daniel, has been defined as he was missing in action. Over the last number of days, it's been changed to taken hostage, along with two other of the members of his tank. So we had a meeting today with the Minister of Defense, Minister Yoav Gallant, at the Kiryah in Tel Aviv, the security center in Tel Aviv. He gave about 2.5 hours of time to the families. There was about maybe 40 of us. There's about 230 something, which are considered the chatzufim, hostages, and another just under 50, which is still considered missing in action, that they're not sure what happened to them still. It was very, very difficult for me, because we have a tremendous, tremendous challenge with our son. But you go around the room and there are families, a lady talking about her parents of 80 and 78, which were taken, captive. There's another family member which has got 12 family members of parents, children, cousins, which were all there for Shabbat. Another one has her mother, her father, and her brother. So she said her father was killed. her brother is missing in action and her mother's taken captive. So you're talking about situations that it's just absolutely, it's just impossible to fathom. It's impossible to fathom. There was no scenario in any Israeli military thinking that such a thing could happen. It's just unbelievable that that such a thing could happen. And so it was very difficult for me to, it's hard enough to deal with your own challenges. And then just to go and listen to all these families speaking. And in many ways, it's much worse than ours, much worse than ours. So not to undermine what we're going through, it's incredibly painful and difficult, but it's part of a much larger picture of not only what Klal Yisrael is going through, but also individual families. They're just, the sheer number is unbelievable. Our family, as painful as it is with Daniel, and we hope and pray for a very good outcome very soon. Our family has been blessed that our oldest son, Yonatan, you just saw the video, I believe, of me. I didn't know his commander before. I knew of him. I didn't know him. He's become like family now. And when I met with his commander 4 days after Yonatan got injured, it was a big turning point for me, because it was a turning point where I understood firsthand from his commanding officer how, God forbid, my son could have been killed 10 times over. He could have been very badly injured. Four of his friends, one sitting next to him in the Jeep, got shot in the stomach. When they went into the base called Nachal Oz, where they saved 25 chayalot. In fact, in this meeting of the families, there were three who were parents of girls which were called Tatzpitaniot, observers from the base Nachal Oz, which unfortunately have been taken captive. But my son, Yonatan, and his team of about 10 or 15 soldiers and officers managed to save 20, 25 girls who were hiding in the base, killed many terrorists before he was shot in the leg. The guy next to him was shot through the in the back, and the guy on the other side of him shot in the stomach. So that's not including, meaning, if I had more time, I would tell you the whole story. But the bottom line is, he fought for 5.5 hours nonstop. From he left here for Shabbat, he was here for Shabbat and Chag with his fiance, which is now our daughter-in-law, Galia. They got married just 12 days ago, Baruch Hashem. He arrived in Sderot once he heard something was going on at 9 o'clock, and he got injured at 2:45. Fighting in Sderot, fighting outside of Sderot, fighting in the streets. He literally arrived with two handguns because he took mine and our other son's, his and my other son's handgun, because he left his rifle in the base because he was expecting to be out for Simchat Torah and then going to what's called Hakafot Shniot in Israel, additional dancing. And he didn't want to, and then take his fiancée back to Sa'ad. She lives in a kibbutz in the south. And didn't want to step around with his gun the whole time. So he just literally left with a handgun and my other son's handgun, and literally had to take a helmet from an injured soldier, take the gun from his friend next to him, who's got hit in the stomach, took his gun. It was absolute pandemonium. So when I heard the story, beginning to end, I looked up to Hashem and I said, Hashem has done an incredible chesed with our family. Incredible chesed. The things with Yonatan could have ended very, very differently. The fact that he was only shot in the leg, and the bullet went through his leg, and the bullet didn't hit his main artery, which you've got 90 seconds to put on a tourniquet, otherwise you bleed to death. Things could have been very different. The Jeep in front of when Yonatan, and 2 hours before that was the Jeep, there were two Jeeps. The Jeep in front of him got hit by an RPG missile and killed three officers of Maglan Special Forces. The RPG shot at them went over their heads. I mean, the miracles and miracles and miracles. So I think for me, if I just talk of me as Doron Perez, how I am getting strength for me is, because when I listen to these other families, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. How do you do this when you've got a father and a mother? And how do you do that? I can't even begin to think of it. But I know that I've got a son who Hashem just plucked out of there. And it could have been very different. I'll tell you a story of one of my friend that I work with, Rabbi Shmuel Slotky. You might have heard the story of him. His two sons were killed on the first day of the war. His two sons live in Beersheba next to each other. And they both married. One's married to a girl from Yad Binyamin, where we live. One's 24, Yishai, and the other 31, Noam. They live next to each other in Beersheba. Somebody ran up from the south. Somebody came into Beersheba at 8 in the morning and said, "You have no idea what's going on. People are getting murdered in the streets." He put on his Miluim uniform and took a handgun, dropped his wife and one kid at his brother. His brother said, "Where are you going?" He said, told him what's going. He said, "I'm going to come with you." Put on his uniform, took his handgun. The two of them drove together. And outside the yeshuv called, outside the yeshuv called Alumim, a religious yeshuv, they were both killed in an encounter with Hamas. So I'm the lucky one. I'm the lucky one. When you look at these other families, you just see what they're going through. I don't know how you deal with that. I've got something to hold on to, that Hashem saved our child. By the way, he's gone back into the army today. He's recovering. He's a commanding officer of new recruits, 150 new recruits in the paratroopers. So they are in basic training. So he's gone. He's got either tonight or tomorrow morning. He's going back. But even though he can't run, he can walk. He can't run, but he can still oversee their training. So I feel lucky. I feel lucky compared to what other people are going through. Now, that doesn't bring any consolation for the pain that we're going through. Sorry, let me just see what this is. It doesn't bring... can you still see me clearly, or is it upside down now? No, can you still see me? Good. Sorry, can you still see me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't change the fact that our son, Daniel, is in all likelihood taken hostage. It doesn't change the fact that many of our worst nightmare is having a child in the, you know, in the hands of such maniacal, you know, animals who behave that even animals don't, you know, behave. And in what world are you not relieved, because there's no relief in it, but I don't know what the word is, that your son's, you know, not, God forbid, we don't know if anything's happened, that God forbid he's, you know, he's dead, but he's with Hamas. And one of the things I've spoken a lot about is, one of the things I've had to learn in the last 3 weeks for me is how it is possible to hold contradictory, impossibly different emotions at the same time. If you would have told me it's possible to do it rationally, I would have said it's not possible. But I can see it is possible because so many people are doing it. We married off our son. And I can tell you it was a wedding of incredible simcha. There were very difficult moments. We decided, and they decided to go ahead once we knew our son was missing in action, because we knew it may go on for a while. He's a frum couple and he's going to go back to the army. They also have no home to go to. They were going to live in Kibbutz Sa'ad, but it's a religious kibbutz down south. The whole yeshiva has been has been evacuated. So, on the one hand, incredible simcha; on the other hand, incredible pain. But we were able, with Hashem's help, to. And my wife is even stronger than me. She's the real giborah. Yes. I can feel the pain of a father. I can't begin to imagine the pain of a mother. And somehow we had this wedding. We changed the venue. It was in Yad Binyamin, as opposed to in Ashkelon. It was much smaller, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Some of my closest friends who were not going to come for the wedding originally, because two of them are Avelim, for their fathers, and another one had something else on, a big fundraiser, which got cancelled. Because anyway, they all came. I had my closest friends around me, which is very, very special for me, from all over the world. my wife had her very, very close friends around her. Our community rallied around us, our family, of course, and it was a very, very special simcha. It was a painful moment under the chuppah when the rabbi mentioned the fact that Daniel is not present. It was very painful. And we davened for him, and then we wiped our tears away, and we got on with the simcha. The family photos were a little bit difficult. One or two people who came that we hadn't seen, friends of my son's who got out the army to come. My daughter-in-law has six brothers and or brothers-in-law in the army. We didn't know if any of them would be able to come. They all came. It was very, very special. So it was a beautiful, beautiful simcha. And I saw that it is possible to hold incredible concern, worry, pain, and incredible happiness and joy, and just put each one in their place. Put each one in their place. One of the big insights that I felt in the last few weeks, having such an incredible sort of simcha with such concern, is what Kohelet says in Shlomo HaMelech in Perek Gimel, where he says, we read it on Sukkot, he says, L'kol zman v'et, l'chol chefetz tachat ha-shamayim. There's a time for everything, a time for life, a time for death. Eight livkot v'et lischok, a time to cry, a time to rejoice, etc., etc. And I always thought that these were two different times in your life. I realized that, you know, all of our lives have got everything at the same time. Who doesn't have pain in their life and happiness? Who doesn't have, on such a deep level, feel such gratitude to Hashem for what we have, but then such pain about how things, you know, no one's life is perfect. If it's not health, it's not family, if it's not parnosa, if it's not shalom bayit, who doesn't have pain and disappointment and difficulty in life? But the key is every single day of life to celebrate life, even with this pain. In a shiur that I gave this last week, I thought to myself, you know, I've often thought when somebody says, how are you? And you say, hakol beseder, everything's okay. Doesn't mean that everything's okay. Everything is never okay. Who can genuinely turn around and say, every part of my life is okay? I don't know of such a person. But we can feel that everything's okay. Because the question of how is everything, I call beseder, it's a bracha. The Ramban says that's why Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our forefathers, were blessed with bakol mikol kol, ken yavarech otanu kura, bivracha shleima. What was the blessing of Hashem berech Avraham? Bakol. It's a blessing, says the Ramban, that a person feels that they have everything. It's a qualitative thing. If you live in Hashem's world, everything is okay. Everything is okay. Of course, nothing's always fully okay. But we don't live in our world, we live in Hashem's world. And somehow in Hashem's world, things are okay. And it made me realize that what we're going through, obviously in a very, very extreme way, is what all of us go through in life. Life is full of all of these things at the same time. What you have to do is know when it's a simcha, you put your pain and your disappointment in a box and you cover it and you just give expression to the simcha. And at other times, you know, there's less celebration and there's more challenge. All these things happen at the same time on a much milder level. And for me, that was a big lesson. We're only 3 weeks and 2 days into this, and we hope we don't have to deal with it any further, that our son will, along with the other captive, somehow come home very soon. There's no big, you know, it's one day at a time. But that's what I feel. That's what we feel. So for me, the fact that Yonatan is married, the fact that he was only shot through the leg, the fact that it was only that, is an incredible brocha from Hashem, notwithstanding the incredible pain and difficulty of Daniel. And I just want to say one final thought, which I've spoken also a lot about, is it is such a privilege to be part of the Jewish people. Yes, Shver Tzayin a Yid, And yes, we've had a more bitter history than anyone else, but we've also had the most blessed history. We just read about Abraham Avinu. The word bracha appears 5 times, you know. He says to him, avarechecha. He says, veheh bracha, mevarechecha, avarech, v'chulei. This purpose of the Jewish people is to be a blessing. We are a blessing. We're a source of blessing. And I believe the great privilege of being part of the Jewish people is part of a people, mikamcha kishra goyechad baretz, a people who have rebuilt everything that's been destroyed at every point in our life. It was impossible to rebuild after the Shoah, yet we rebuilt Hashem blessed us with Jewish sovereignty and rebuilding the Torah world. It was impossible to come out of Mitzrayim after such a horrific thing, and yet we did, freedom and dignity, received the Torah. And it was impossible after the Churban, and people felt that there was no way forward, and yet there was always a way forward. You heard the vort that I said with while giving Ro'i Zabatani's commander a hug about Odi Shema Bara Yehuda. There's always hope. And for me, I'll end and say that, you know, when do we tell our children the story of Jewish history? It's when we sit at the Pesach Seder. And at the Pesach Seder, we know that if you call me Shelo Amar Shloshad Varim Eile, if you haven't said 3 things, Rabbi Gamliel, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. You have to talk about the Maror. You want to talk about the story of freedom. You have to say that it's often not such a bed of roses. There are a lot of thorns. You have to say to your child, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, because if you don't say that, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation, because Jewish history is challenging. You have to eat the Maror, because the Maror tells us that Jewish history, it has got a lot of bitterness. But for me, the big lesson is that that's not the story. It's part of the story, but it's not the story. Matchil v'gnut. We have a difficult time in the beginning. The story is one of Shevach for Hashem. It's one of good. Being part of the Jewish people means being part of a people who celebrate life and celebrate hope, and not intellectually, but in action, how we rebuild, we dust ourselves off, and we move forward. And I think that is the schut of being part of the Jewish people. I want to perhaps end and just say that, yes, many, many families such as ourselves are going through what we thought was unimaginable pain. And I look at other families around me and I bare met think that theirs is unimaginable. Mine is, I'm living through, and it's I don't know how other people are doing it. I don't know how these ladies and daughters are sitting there talking about their elderly parents who've both been taken or other things. It's just unimaginable. And yes, we've been surprised, and yes, we are bleeding, and yes, there are huge, huge, huge challenges in front of us, but we will overcome them, because that is the Jewish way. And Bezrat Hashem, from this very, very dark day in Jewish history, will emerge an incredible day of Gula for the Jewish people. Yes, our darkest days in Mitzrayim were very dark, but they, out of that came Pesach and Shavuot. And yes, the Churban was very, very dark, but even Yirmiyahu said that it won't be long before we'll be rebuilt, and we did. And yes, there hasn't been a darker time for the Jewish people than in the Shoah, and somehow, incredibly, impossibly, we built a state of Israel, and we rebuilt the Torah world. That is the blessing of being part of Hashem's people, and we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, rebuild, and through the unity of the Jewish people, which is absolutely incredible at the moment. And if we have this unity and this togetherness after such a difficult 9 months and a difficult number of years, with so much disunity, when we stand together as one and we feel each other's pain, and there are extremists on either side, on the extreme left, which still, you know, care more about our enemy than they do about their own people. And there are also extremists on the other side, on the right, who will sort of, you know, do anything and anything to just flatten and all of that. The vast, 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 vast majority of Jews are one, and we're together in this, and we feel part of one people. We know that Hamas has to be, the world must be, we have to rid the world of the regime, which is Hamas. And just like Nazi Germany, yes, there were many, many, many Germans who were good, But out of Germany grew Nazism, and Nazism had to be destroyed until there was nothing left of it before the German people could be rebuilt. And so to hear, there's agreement across the board that however long it takes, and we don't know, I'm not privy to any of the discussions and decisions, I don't know, but there's agreement from left to right across Israel that this regime, which no matter what has been done to give them anything and everything, to live side by side with Hamas, is still not only hell-bent on our death, but look what they've done and what they, not what they're capable of, look what they've done. And therefore, there's absolute clarity and unity in Israel to uproot this evil from its source, that this regime should no longer exist. Just hope and pray. It's just like there was a day of such unimaginable surprise and suffering. So too, going forward, we'll have unimaginable miracles, just like Avraham Avinu in this week's parasha, who brought back every single Lot and all of the captives without one of his 318 soldiers being harmed. So too, all the captives should come back. Those who are injured should be healed, and every one of our soldiers should come back in safety and usher in a new era of ridding the world of evil, and creating a new dawn for the Jewish people and for humanity. If I can ask you, please, to continue to daven for our son, Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon, amongst all the hostages and the captives. And we hope and pray for their speedy return. And Bezrat Hashem, for a better day and a new dawn for the state of Israel and the Jewish people.
Amen. Thank you very much. Peres, on behalf of all of us, I mentioned to you in my brief text to you that Yetzalah Chazek V'Yetzamit Chazek, that this should be a source of strength to you, to know that around the world we are davening for you and for your son and for all of the Chatufim and for all of the Chayalim. And Mirtz Hashem, consider this a virtual hug, but I plan at the end of November to come on one of the RCA Mizrahi missions. So I will hopefully have a chance to see you in person, and then I will give you a real hug.
I hope you'll have a chance to see me, and I hope you have a chance to give my son Daniel and all of them a very big hug together with everyone. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.